Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
We know we will go on, but how? We live in frightening times, my friends. Days are dark with storms, and burdens weigh our hearts. It's easy to feel as small as that mouse, looking with wonder on those who are roaring, sometimes in fear and trembling, and other times in awe and a little bit of envy. How we will go on feels like a constant question these days. And yet we do. And the process of discovering and rediscovering our faith in how to go on is itself a blessing. Sometimes a tiring one, but a blessing nonetheless. The stories we're raised on, the stories of feats of daring by athletes or historical figures or superheroes or justice warriors, those stories can be hard to relate to when we're faced with our own everyday fears, large or small. There aren't a lot of movies made about the hero's defiant act of getting out of bed. But sometimes that's exactly what courage looks like. And there aren't a lot of books written about the time the minister saw a mouse run across the floor of her office at church while on a phone call and held back her scream. But some days that takes courage too. So we need the reminder, don't we, that we have both a mouse and a lion inside. Lutheran pastor Nadia Bolz Weber has no problem doing what most people put at the top of their list of fears. She speaks in front of hundreds, thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of people with no anxiety. But she does have two big, nearly debilitating fears: getting dental work done and driving on snowy, winding mountain roads. And because the universe has a dark sense of humor, she happens to be someone who has naturally weak teeth and lives in Colorado. 1 week a couple of years ago, Nadia's partner was away and their dog, Gertrude Stein, was recovering from surgery and not doing well. After being up most of the night cleaning up after the sick dog and worried sick herself, knowing she couldn't reach the vet's office for a few more hours and also wasn't going to be able to handle her own spiral of anxiety much longer, she remembered some advice she had gotten in several spiritual and self-help programs. The best way to get out of your own head is to go and do something for someone else. So Nadia went out at 5 a.m. and shoveled the snow from the sidewalks of her whole block. And as she describes it, for that time, she was free. When she was finished, she mustered the courage to do the thing she was most afraid of. She put Gertrude Stein in the car and set out on those winding mountain roads as snow fell in a blizzard. She made the terrifying drive down I-90 with cars sliding around outside while she shook and took deep breaths in the driver's seat, praying the whole time. And she got there just as the critical care team was showing up for work for the day. And then, having so bravely gotten the dog to the hospital and then bravely handing her over to the medical team, she realized she had depleted her courage battery for the day. The thought of facing the drive back through the storm in her little Subaru was more than she could take. So, barely able to speak through her sobs, she realized she had just enough bravery left to do one more thing: to ask someone for help. She called her friend Russ, who was happy to be of help and to be away from all that he was worrying about in his own life. And for the 30 minutes that it took for him to drive her home, he was free. The dynamics of courage are so much more complicated than vanquishing an enemy, aren't they? Researchers have distilled the qualities of courage to three parts: a risk, an intention, and a goal that might benefit others. We are living in a time when risk is all around. Is it safe to be who we are if we're queer, non-binary, trans, a person of color, an immigrant, disabled, in the throes of mental illness, or any combination of the above? Not really, if we're being honest. And if we aren't in a specifically targeted group, our worries for our neighbors, our loved ones, our values, our democracy are plenty to keep us up at night. I've found myself newly afraid of things I thought were solved long ago. And now some of the proverbial monsters under the bed are actually in charge of our collective future. So yes, risk is very real. So what do we do with those risks when our intention is to be a community of love and service for justice and peace? Or more close at hand, when we want to just be there for each other, to do what we can to keep goodness alive in the world, or even just to keep the harms from doing their worst to our kin? If we only act out of our sense of risk, what we're afraid of losing, we can find it easy to justify not doing the hard thing, the thing that raises our discomfort and puts us a little off balance. What we think of as safety can also be a cage. But when we bring our fear in conversation with our intention, who we want to be with what we want to see in the world, we get in touch with a lot more choices. Not easy choices, mind you. No guarantee of any particular outcome, but ways to imagine what might be on the other side of our fear. It turns out that in our own heads, where we're tempted to dwell in our own stories and magnify our fears with our imaginations of all of the worst, our heads are not the best neighborhoods for growing our courage. A growing body of research also shows that for folks experiencing mild anxiety or depression or just having a hard time emotionally, volunteering in their community offers many benefits that alleviate their symptoms by helping them feel more connected, reducing stress and anxiety, and feeling a direct connection to some sparks of goodness in the world. Freed from the prison of our own fears by both the distraction and the gratification of helping others, we fill our own batteries for bravery, fueled by a little hope that all the worst we imagine might not come to pass, that we might be part of the change we hope to see if we just push forward a little more. Like the lion and the mouse, we can rock this together. There are so many stories of courage and bravery, but this morning I want to share one from a few years ago that still echoes, especially with the news this week. You may remember that almost as soon as Massachusetts courts approved same-sex marriage in 2004, Governor Romney offered instructions to county and municipal clerks, the people who were in charge of administering marriage licenses, to enforce a 1913 law which prevented Massachusetts officials from allowing marriages of mixed black and white couples if their home states didn't allow those marriages. As a deluge of lesbian and gay couples landed in Nantucket that summer to get married, Catherine Flanagan Stover, a Catholic mother of six who was the town clerk, refused to comply with the governor's orders. Stover said, "Before May 17, 2004, clerks never had to ask what marriage laws were in the couple's home states, nor did we have time to screen them for psychological impairments, co-sanguinity, or anything else. In fact, clerks were told specifically and emphatically that our function was to assist couples wishing to marry, not to obstruct them." Stover and dozens of other town clerks from around the state filed an injunction against the governor's mandate, which they called discriminatory, antiquated, and inhospitable. The clerk's suit said that the governor's instructions put them at odds with the state's laws, which they had taken an oath of office to uphold. Then State Attorney General Thomas Riley threatened legal action against municipal clerks who didn't comply with the governor's instructions, saying they could be fired, fined, or even jailed for up to a year. Stover and her colleagues held firm, and they continued to officiate weddings of same-gender couples. A risk, an intention, a goal that might benefit others. Those three little components of courage can be lived in so many ways. Whether courage looks like facing a mountain road in the snowstorm for the sake of a dog, standing up for democracy and process in the face of threats from the powers that be, or finding your way out of bed in the morning. It begins and ends with care for something or someone beyond ourselves. It pushes us to grow, to redefine our imagined limits, and learn who we might become. And because we don't all have the same fears, we have this great gift of being able to show up for each other, borrowing courage when ours runs out, lending bravery when we are the ones who have gotten free, realizing day by day how to make the world as it can be. Will we ever find the courage to resist closing our borders from the world? Will we ever reject the story of wealth equals power equals a better world? Will we ever realize that bodily autonomy and the right to choose your partner is fundamental to a free society and preserve it for everyone of any and all gender identities? Will we ever resist war and nativism and exceptionalism? We will, and we can do all of these things if we do them together, one step at a time, pooling our courage to carry us forward. Whether we're feeling a little more lion or a little more mouse, we can rock this together and sometimes even have fun. So may it be. Amen. Let this love hold you when you're most fearful and when you're doing the very bravest thing you can, when you are someone else's rock, and when you are discovering your roar. Remember what a prize you are. What a lucky sack of stars. The service begins when the service ends, my friends, and today the service ends with a dance party to celebrate the fact that this week the Supreme Court refused to grant an appeal of Kim Davis's conviction for blocking gay marriages. Celebrating the good stuff is one of the ways we gain courage and strength to face everything else. So if you are dancing inclined, please come forward and join us, and let's rock this together, friends.
2, 3, 4. I'm coming out.
I'm coming out. I want the world to know. Got to let it show. I'm coming out. I want the world to know. Got to let it show. Oh, I'm coming out. I want the world to know. I've got to let it show. I'm coming out. I want the world to got to let it show.
We are family.
We are family. I got all my siblings with me. We are family. Get up everybody and sing. We are family. I got all my siblings with me. We are family.
We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.